In this lecture, we are going to look at further aspects of companies existing within the same capital gains group, starting with the implications of companies leaving a capital gains group. As we recall from the previous session, assets are transferred between group companies at no gain, no loss. However, if a company leaves the group within 6 years of an intra-group transfer, taking the asset with it, a gain will be assessed on the departing company as though the original transfer had taken place at market value. This charge is known as a Section 179 charge or degrouping charge. The rules are contained within Section 179 of TCGA 1992. The gain itself is taxed on the departing company in the chargeable accounting period of it leaving the group. Let us illustrate this by way of a diagram. Here we have Elton Limited, which owns 100% of Furnish Limited.
In April 1997, Elton Limited purchased a property for £300,000. And in July 2006, when its market value was £750,000, transferred it to Furnish Limited. This transfer will take place at no gain, no loss, so a charge to tax will not arise at the time of the transfer. However, in March 2011, Elton Limited sells its stake in Furnish Limited.
This is within 6 years of the intra-group transfer, and therefore the no gain, no loss rule will not apply to this transfer anymore. Instead, it will be deemed that Furnish Limited sold and reacquired the asset at the time of the intra-group transfer.
So, computing the gain, the proceeds will be £750,000, the market value in July 2006. We deduct cost of £300,000 and indexation between April 1997 and July 2006 at, say, 30%. This is £90,000, leaving us with a gain of £360,000. This gain will be charged on Furnish Limited in the chargeable accounting period when it leaves the group. For instance, if each company has a December year end, this will be in the year ended 31st of December 2011, as the company left the group in March 2011.
Take a look at the next example. What I would like you to do is to compute what gains, if any, will arise when Fish Limited leaves the Cage Group, and who those gains will be assessed on. On the screen, I have given you the assumed index rises between the various dates, which you should use in your calculation. Insert the appropriate details into the boxes and select Continue when you are ready. Let us take a look at the solution. Cage Limited owns 100% of Fish Limited. And in January 1993, Cage Limited purchased a property at a cost of £150,000.
In May 2005, the asset was transferred from Cage Limited to Fish Limited when its market value was £480,000. At the time, both companies are part of the same group, so this transfer would have been at no gain, no loss. However, in January 2011, Fish Limited leaves Cage Limited's group.
Therefore, Fish Limited is deemed to sell and reacquire the asset at market value. This gives us proceeds of £480,000 less cost, less indexation, leaving us with a gain of £277,500. This gain will be taxed on Fish Limited in the accounting period in which it leaves the group. All or part of a gain or loss arising under Section 179 may be reallocated to one or more members of the group. This is provided for under Section 179A of TCGA 1992. Notice that it says or part, so a degrouping charge can be divided and allocated around the group members to minimize corporation tax. Let us have a look at an example which demonstrates this principle. Here we have a group with a year end of 30th of June, and H Limited has an asset with an index cost of £240,000. This asset is going to be transferred to G Limited. The asset is therefore transferred across to G Limited under Section 171, and G Limited is deemed to have acquired the asset at a base cost of £240,000. The market value of the asset might be £400,000, but at the moment that is not relevant.
The next thing to deal with is the parent company selling G Limited on the 1st of November 2010. This will create a Section 179 charge in G Limited of £160,000. This is the market value less the base cost of £240,000, simply because Section 171 that originally applied is now deemed to disapply. The Section 179 charge is deemed to arise on the 1st of July 2010, i.e. at the start of the accounting period of departure. Consequently, any tax due on the Section 179 charge will be accounted for when preparing the computations for the year ended 30th of June 2011.
So consequently, at the moment, we are looking at a 179 charge in G Limited of £160,000. But we notice that I Limited has capital losses brought forward of £175,000. So it would be sensible for G Limited and I Limited to elect that the Section 179 charge is reallocated within the group. Consequently, the 179 charge is transferred to I Limited, which is then reduced by the capital losses brought forward. Now in this particular case, we have £175,000 worth of capital losses and £160,000 worth of 179 charge. So there will be no 179 charge, and the capital losses to carry forward will be reduced to £15,000. Do note that this is a joint election, so G and I must both agree to this reallocation. It won't be unusual for both parties to agree, because the price the parent gets for G Limited will be affected by any 179 charge. So if the group can remove the 179 charge, then it would probably take that course of action. This should increase the sale price of G Limited. The conditions for Section 179A, which reallocates the Section 179 charge, are as follows. The company to which the Section 179 charge is reallocated must be a member of the same group as the Section 179 company at the time the gain is deemed to accrue. Therefore, the time of accrual of the Section 179 gain is important.
In our example, it was the start of the accounting period in which the company left the group, being the 1st of July 2010.
The gain reallocated cannot exceed the 179 charge. At the time the gain is deemed to accrue, the company to which the 179 charge is reallocated must be UK resident or own assets within the UK.
The joint election must be made within 2 years of the end of the accounting period in which the gain accrues. In our example, this is the 30th of June 2013.
It is possible to roll over a gain arising as a result of the degrouping charge.
Let us have a look at a simple example involving a parent company and its subsidiaries A Limited and B Limited. On the 1st of December 2006, B Limited transfers an asset to A Limited.
Let us assume that the index cost of the asset is £125,000, and that will be the deemed proceeds from B Limited to A Limited to affect the no gain, no loss transaction. We know the market value of the asset, but at present it is not that important. Parent Limited then decides to sell A Limited. This will create a Section 179 charge of £275,000. That is the difference between the market value at the date of transfer and the index cost. Now the 179 charge is chargeable, but in this example, A Limited buys an asset of £500,000. It is possible to roll the Section 179 charge into the base cost of the new asset. So the new asset would have a base cost of £225,000. There would be no Section 179 charge. It should be noted, however, that the base cost of the asset transferred is increased to £400,000. This is regardless of any rollover claim. This must be done to avoid double counting. The conditions for Section 179B are as follows. In our example, B Limited must have been carrying on a trade at the time of transfer. The property transferred must have been used for the purposes of B Limited's trade. The deemed sale consideration must all be reinvested by A Limited for a full rollover relief claim to be made. It should be noted at this point that A Limited is not the only company that can reinvest. It could be any member of the group. So effectively, the group-wide rollover provisions apply to Section 179B. Both the old and the new assets must be within the qualifying provisions of Section 155 TCGA 1992, so they are qualifying assets for rollover purposes.
Note, a claim under Section 179B can be made by either the vendor group or the purchasing group.